2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, again we pray for your guidance as we look into your word. Lord, speak your message through me for your honor and for your glory. Open our minds and our hearts to what you've prepared for us tonight. Lord, I pray most of all that if there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day they come to you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Some folks would say there's nothing like a good fight, while others would say there's no such thing as a good fight. Now, whichever side of the fence you're on, if you're on the side that says there's nothing like a good fight, or there's no such thing as a good fight, the reality is that if you are a child of God, you're going to have to fight. And that's what these verses that we just read are about. It's fighting well, or how to fight. Now you may say, "I know how to fight, Brother Doug." Well, we're going to tonight take a look at how to fight right. This was wrote to a young pastor at the Church of Ephesus. And so it is great for me as a pastor looking at this. I think, wow, okay, this is how pastors got to fight. But it's not just for a pastor. It's for all of us. And so there are great principles set forth in this that anybody could use. And if you're going to fight, and you are going to fight, first of all, you're going to have to get ready to fight. Okay? You're going to have to get ready. And the first way you get ready in verse 22 is flee youthful lust. The idea there is to empty yourself of the things that would hinder a godly fight. And Paul says that is to flee youthful lust. Now, as a youth, and understand, in this day, there were two categories of people. There weren't youth, teenage, early adulthood, and middle age, and over. There were young people, and there were old people. That's the way they viewed everybody. You were either young or you were old. So as Paul says, flee youthful lust, he's not just talking about teenagers. He's talking about the younger crowd in general. And so what those would be, when we're young, we tend to be a little bit prideful. Or if you're like me, when I was young, I was a lot prideful. Okay? We tend to be a little selfish, looking out for number one, what's in it for me. And we also tend to say anything that we think when we're young. We don't have figured out how to control that thing we call a tongue. And Paul is actually here saying, Timothy, it's time for you to grow up, partner. It's time for you to grow up and flee these things, or run away from, avoid, shun, get rid of these things that's going to prevent your godly fight. Why? Because they're going to interfere with your ministry, Timothy. And if we don't flee these things, they will interfere with our godly ministry also. Instead of pursuing those youthful things like pride and saying anything and doing anything and selfishness, Paul says, you've got to run from that. Well, now, if we're going to run from one thing, we're going to run toward something else. Well, it's nice of Paul to tell us what to run toward. And he did that very thing in verse 22. He said, pursue. And that's what that word pursue means. Run toward. Run toward righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Here's what you got to have, Timothy, if you're going to fight a good fight. You're going to have righteousness. You're going to have to be right. I'm always right when I fight. How about you? Well, that's not the right we're talking about. We're talking about a righteousness in God and being right in the sight of God. Pursue that righteousness before God that you can stand before God and say, and know, with confidence, knowing that you're right with God. He said, pursue faith. Faith is that trust, that reliance upon God, that when you don't have all the right answers and you don't know how to respond to certain circumstances, that you just sometimes have to back up and say, Lord, I don't know what to do here, but I trust you. Pursue love, Timothy. Self-sacrifice, living for the good of others. And Timothy, pursue peace. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I like peace. Don't make waves, you know. Don't rock my boat. I like peace. I like calm. I like harmony. That harmonious relationship with God as well as a harmonious relationship with God's people. That's what he's talking about here. These are your weapons. Okay? Back over them. Righteousness, faith, love, peace. These are the weapons that you get to fight with. Now let's talk about how to fight. In verse 23, he says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. It speaks of disputes that don't matter. Stay away. I'm thoroughly convinced there are some people who like to fight. I don't like to fight. Don't want to, you know. But there are some people who do, and they will fight about anything. Fuss about anything. Argue about anything. That word dispute, it means to debate. There are people who just love to debate. And it doesn't matter what side you're on, they'll take the other side just for the sake of argument. But the thing about most arguments is that they don't matter. And that's what Paul's saying here. Don't waste your time arguing about things that do not matter. I grew up in a time when our churches were plagued with arguments. And I mean, they were good at it. I've seen people shake their fists at one another and threaten one another and call people names. As a matter of fact, the area that I'm from, if you drive around in that area, you will quickly notice that there's a missionary Baptist church on every corner. You want to know why? Because back when I was growing up, people were really good at arguing. And they never settled anything. They'd argue until they come to the point that they'd say, well, we're going to split. And one of them would go one way and the others would stay there. So then you had two churches, one of about 20 people and another of about 20 people. And they are scattered all over the landscape in the state of Arkansas. And I think it's because people like to argue. And most of those splits that took place were over things that didn't matter. Things like church letters. You know, church letter is something we invented, right? One of my more favorite, wine or grape juice at the Lord's Supper. My most favorite, King James only version. Contemporary or traditional music. You know, things that really, when it comes down to it, don't carry a lot of weight. You know why they don't carry a lot of weight? The church is given a great commission. What is that great commission? Go and make disciples. These little things that get in the way of that are things that don't matter. Are we carrying out our Great Commission? Paul tells them in verse 23, they generate, or he actually says knowing, said, be sure of this, know this, they generate strife. That word generate means to give birth to someone or something. He says, Timothy, they just give birth to trouble. Don't get caught up in it. You see, you've got to ask yourself the question, what difference does it make? And if it doesn't make a difference, don't worry about it. Number one, and how to fight. Flee foolish arguments. Number two, verse 24, if you're a servant of the Lord, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. I like that. Servant of the Lord must not quarrel. You know what that means? He must not argue. This is, again, from a pastoral side, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, don't argue with people. Don't argue with people. You're wasting your time. You must not be a person that's prone to quarrel. You can't serve the Lord and be the center of a continuous argument. You know? If you're the pastor, if you're a church member for that matter, instead of worrying about the argument, he says, Timothy, you must be gentle. That word must, you know what that means? It means must. This is a requirement. If you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to pastor one of the Lord's churches, you've got to be gentle. You can't be in people's faces all the time. And here's the real kicker. If you'll look there with me, I want to point out a word to you. It says, and a servant, verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to, what's that next word? All. You know what it means? It means everybody. It means everybody. Even those who are looking for an argument. Even those that are going to oppose you and offer conflict on every turn. Timothy, just be gentle. Just be gentle. And able to teach. You see, here's where it gets real important. That able to teach is just what it says, the ability to teach. But you can't teach when you're angry. I've discovered I cannot preach when I'm mad. Because when I preach when I'm angry, it ceases to be a message from the Lord, and it sometimes can be to that point of, well, this is Brother Doug browbeating people. You know? That's not acceptable for preachers. Especially in Ephesians 4:15, we're told, speak the truth in love, that we may grow in all things. If the truth doesn't in love doesn't come out of the pulpit, the result will not be good. But I say that from a pastor's point of view. What about from a member's point of view? Your same requirement. You see, if you want people to listen to you, the first requirement is going to be, you're going to have to be gentle with those people. Don't try to mow them down. Don't try to run them over. Don't try to make them angry. But rather, love them. Love them. When you allow conflict to consume you, you will lose the ability to influence people, to teach people, and to lead people. Then he says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, even those that you don't like, able to teach, and patient. This is the most important part. That word patient, it means bearing difficulties without resentment. It means you've got to be able to look at those people who have challenged you in the past. Look at them, say, I love you, and do things for their good, for the glory of God. That's the idea, you know? I mean, let's face it, we're all human, amen? We all make mistakes. We all say something from time to time that perhaps we shouldn't say. And we all have our own unique ways. But it doesn't matter if somebody's hurt me or hurt you in the past. If we're going to fight the good fight, we're going to have to be patient. And we're going to have to overlook those challenges and that opposition that has been in our face in the past. And we're going to have to deal with them in love without resentment. I want to tell you, that's hard. It's hard to forget, you know, because you'll visit with them and the first thing that comes to your mind is, I remember what you said 15 years ago. Isn't that the way? I remember how you were 10 years ago. No, don't hold a grudge. Do not hold a grudge. You can't love people and hold a grudge. You can't pastor people and hold a grudge. You can't be the deacon of people and hold a grudge. You can't be a teacher in Sunday school and hold a grudge. Brother Doug, how do you get rid of it? On your knees. You lay it at the feet of Jesus. And when old Satan throws it back up in your face, and he will throw it back up in your face, go back and get on your knees again. Place it before the Lord. And if he throws it back in your face a third time, go back. And go back as many times as it takes and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Then in verse 25, he says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. I like that, don't you? That they may come to their senses. You know what that literally means? It means that they'll sober up because they're not acting in good sense. They're acting as if they were out of control. That they will come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That word, when it says in humility, literally that word is not how we normally think of humility. It literally means gentle friendliness. And it means the strength to accommodate the weakness of another. Don't you think about that one just a moment. In humility, you know that this person is angry at you and has a quick temper. Take that into consideration. That you in humility, will approach them in gentle friendliness. Instead of approaching them, I don't care what you think, this is what I'm going to do. Approach them saying, I love you, no matter what you do. Tough sometimes. But you see, that's the requirement of a good leader, whether it be in the pulpit, whether it be in the pew. You and your desire for that person has to be that God will grant them repentance. Have you ever dealt with somebody that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were wrong? Have you ever done that? And what did you discover at that time? I'll tell you what you discovered. You discovered that you could not change that individual. You could only change yourself and deal with yourself. And you may know that your opposition is absolutely wrong. You may know that they need to repent. But take this down and remember this. Only God can change a heart. That's why he said, that in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. You know, if God doesn't intervene, you can't change that individual. But I'll tell you what, we serve a God that can change that individual. That if you're living, if someone is living in continual opposition to you, it's okay. Pray for them. God will or can change the heart of that individual. And here's perhaps the most important part that we need to understand in fighting battles. You see, I mentioned a while ago there in verse 26 where it says that they may come to their senses and escape. What's their problem? Have you ever wanted to just look at somebody you knew they were wrong beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you just wanted to look at them and say, "What's your problem?" Well, Paul tells Timothy what their problem is. In verse 26, he tells Timothy, that they may escape the snare of the devil. Satan's got a hold of them. You know, Satan still gets a hold of people today. He still gets a hold of Christians today. And the problem is, Satan's got a hold of them, and having been taken captive, that word is that they're under his control. Did you know a Christian, he may not can be possessed by the devil, but he can be influenced by the devil, and he can be a captive of the devil. And they need escape. You see, here's where we realize we've got to allow our heart to be changed. We're not fighting an individual. We're fighting the devil. You know? So the next time you look at that individual in which has gotten cross with you for some whatever reason it is, and you know they're wrong and you know you're right, here's their problem. Old Satan's got a hold of them. And you know about you, I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary to me. That bothers me to think that God's people can be under the influence of satanic power, but they can. So what do? We pray for that individual. We love that individual. We approach them in gentleness and friendliness, and we do everything that's in our power. Instead of fighting like the world fights and fighting like the devil fights, we do everything that's in our power to show them the love of God, so that just maybe, God can get a hold of their heart and change them for His honor, for His glory. You see, that's a godly fight. That's how we're to fight our battles. And that's how Paul was telling Timothy, buddy, this is how you got to do it. Because I've discovered something else. If I fight like the world fights, I lose every time. Every time I lose. But if I fight according to the principles of God, I'll never lose. Because God's going to take care of it either way. You may be here tonight and you've been fighting a battle with someone. Listen, this isn't a call you out. I'm actually preaching this because it was next in line of the preaching. So don't think, well, Brother Doug knows something. We don't know somebody's fighting. No. No. As a matter of fact, I tend to one rather preach this when nobody was fighting than when they were. You know, way more enjoyable to preach it now. But I don't know everything either. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know who you're fighting. But let me challenge you, and let me just offer you this. If you are fighting, fight God's way. Fight God's way. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity to be a child of God. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. And I'm saved not because of who or what I am. I'm saved because I've called upon the Son of God who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for my sin. I'm saved very simply because Jesus died for me. And I've asked Him to be my Savior. The Bible says that if you'll call on Him, He'll save you. Are you a child of God tonight? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation. This invitation is for you. Maybe you're here and there's some other spiritual need. Maybe there's a battle outside that you're fighting. You need to spend time at the altar. Whatever your spiritual need is, the altar's open. I would just ask you to listen to Jesus and respond as He'd have you respond. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for this direction, this instruction on how to fight. Because, Lord, so many times we get it wrong and we want to fight like the world fights and we mess it up. And that's not what You've called us to be. You've called us to be different, to stand out from the world, to be separate from the world. Help us, Lord, that we may love even when it's hard, that we may be gentle even when we're under attack, that we may honor You, Lord, by every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we may be in that position right now where we're not fighting, but we know that this will be useful one day, because we know that if you grant us life, that there are battles that we'll face. So help us, Lord. Help us to live faithfully to You and to honor You with our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.